Well, good morning, everybody. So for those of you that don't know me, my name is Denny Willis. I volunteer on staff here at Revive as the Global Outreach Director. So that means I travel around the world and help teams move and train and do that to do some missions work all over our different ministries throughout the world. But first, I want to congratulate you on something. Some of you guys are like, what's the crazy old man talking about? Well, congratulations, you made it. You survived the holidays. So I know the holidays are just crazy, right? I mean, we get going at Thanksgiving and there's so many things to be thankful for. And then we get through Thanksgiving and we have this sort of this little lull. And then it's all the preparation for Christmas, right? You know, like which family are we going to go to, you know, on Christmas Eve? Which worship service are we going to? How should we decorate the house? What food we should have? And it's just this complete craziness. And then we get into New Year's. And it's this, you know, new birth and new beginning. And these are great holidays. I mean, we should be celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we should celebrate New Year's, a new beginning, a new birth, and almost like a do-over. But in that craziness of Christmas, we get caught up into the gifts, right? Looking for that perfect gift for that certain someone. And we spend so much time thinking and worrying about buying that perfect gift. But let me ask you a question today. Have you ever received a gift, and when you opened that gift, it was strange? I mean, you like looked at it and it was like, I don't get it. But as time goes on, that gift became unique and meaningful to you. Let me show you what I mean. So a couple of years ago, my son and his family, I think it was birthday or Father's Day, they're really close together, so I'm not really sure, but they bought me this. Pretty exciting, huh? I know you all want one, but I bet you all of you, some of you are going like, what is it? So I look at it and I'm like, thanks, I think. And he's like, well, you don't know what it is? I'm like, nobody knows what this thing is. So he's like, well, look. Oh, it's a cutting board? So I like to cook a lot. We do a lot of barbecuing and smoking meat, and we have big parties at our house. And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, why do I need a cutting board with a lid? Now, my son realizes that I am not the brightest of all people, and he's like, check this out. Like, it's a tub, too. Like, what am I doing? It's a tub, it's a cutting board, and it has a lid. Happy birthday to me. This gift has been one of the most meaningful and useful gifts that I have ever received. It's crazy how many things I use this for. If we're doing pulled pork, I got the pork in there, I'm trimming it up, I'm seasoning it in the tub so it's not going all over the counters, right? If I pull the pork, take it off the smoker, I can shred it all up and serve it with a lid on it. We can take it out in the yard. We can take it places and deliver meat to people, not any of you people. But we can use this thing for so many things. I've actually brined turkeys in it, washed it out, smoked the turkeys, brought the turkeys back in, and then sliced the turkeys, and then served the turkeys. This thing has been just an incredible gift. Now, what I want you to do is keep this concept of a strange and unusual gift that became meaningful to you. So we're about ready to kick off our series, Sincerely. We're going to walk through the letter of 1 Peter. And in this letter, Peter addresses something that we all go through from time to time. Suffering. I don't know about you, but sometimes life's hard. And when life gets hard, and we encounter those difficulties in life, man, it can be challenging. And that suffering can affect all areas of our life. Quite frankly, it can affect our faith too. We all face challenges. We all face difficulties in life. None of us are immune to it. We all go through different seasons of it. And it may look different for each and every one of you. We just finished Christmas. And maybe you put a little bit more on your credit card and you're really panicking about how you're going to pay that bill. Or maybe you're at work and you have a rocky relationship with a coworker or your boss. Or maybe you're suffering in your marriage or a relationship with a friend or a family. Or maybe you're going through a hard stage of parenting. You know, my kids are grown, but sometimes it's still hard because you want the best for them. Maybe you feel like you got no purpose in life. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you even have mental health issues or physical health. Or maybe especially this time of year, you're grieving the loss of somebody way too soon. If you're facing just one of these difficulties, it can be overwhelming. But if you're going through more than one of these at a time, you can truly suffer. See, in Peter's letter, he acknowledges life's hardships. He doesn't avoid them. He doesn't sugarcoat them. But as we read today, Peter is going to give us two helpful tools when we face suffering: godly perspective and godly encouragement. See, let me give you a little bit of context of who Peter's writing to in this letter. So Peter is writing to the Christians in about 60 AD in what is now known as modern-day Turkey. And in that time, the Christians were going through a tremendous amount of persecution. They were experiencing ridicule, harassment, and slander for their faith. And see, and things were only going to get worse because under Nero, who was the Roman emperor at the time, and his successors, they were only going to ratchet up the suffering on those believers, confiscating their property, imprisonment. And unfortunately, the Romans were really good about brutal death. I'm so thankful that we don't face that type of persecution in the United States today. But I'm sure all of you have been ridiculed for your faith. I know I have. I've been called a holy roller. I've been told I was weak. And I used Christianity as a crutch. Now, even though that was meant to slander me, it's true. Because when life is hard, I really love to lean into my faith. I've had family members tell me, keep my Christianity. But see, that's nothing compared to what some of our brothers and sisters are faced in the world today. As I said earlier, I've had the privilege of being able to travel to many of the countries that we minister to. And they understand persecution. They understand what suffering is. In India, the government is trying to change the country into a totally Hindu nation, which means that if you're Christian, Muslim, Jewish, they want you eliminated. That there's many times that if you're a Christian, that they're coming into your homes or your places of worship, they're dragging you out of your homes or worship places. They may beat you. They may start your home on fire. They may imprison you. See, and I know this to be true because I've been to these places and I've seen the faces and I've met some of the people that have gone through this persecution. And unfortunately, I've seen the pictures of their beaten bodies in hospital beds as they suffer for their faith. I don't know if many of you are aware of this. In Nigeria, on Christmas Day, as we celebrated the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 140 Christians were brutally murdered for their faith. They didn't do anything wrong. They just believed in Jesus and they were killed. Do you know in Nigeria that every 2 hours a Christian is killed? In the Middle East, if you're Muslim and from an Islamic background and you leave the faith and become a Christian, at very least you're going to be kicked out of your family. You're probably going to lose your job, possibly beaten, and many times killed for believing in Jesus. Through a number of years, I've traveled back and forth to Lebanon, and I met a young man, his name is Wael. And I met Wael when he was in high school. And he was Muslim, and he became a believer of Jesus Christ through coming to faith through YFC Lebanon, Youth for Christ. And I watched Wael grow in his faith and share his faith with others as he went through high school. And at a time, as he was going into university, he came on staff as a volunteer, continuing to share his faith. And year after year, I would return and I would see Wael grow in his faith. And after he graduated from university, he came on staff and became a YFC staff member. And I remember one time that we were just hanging out and talking to him, and the question came up, Wael, does your family know that you're a Christian? His answer was short, it was direct, and it was blunt. What, would you have me killed? Now, while that type of suffering may put things in perspective for us, I don't want to diminish the type of suffering you may be going through in this season of life. Just like there's many storms, rainstorms, snowstorms, thunderstorms, sleet storms, hailstorms, I think you get the idea. There's many types of suffering. And your storm, the storm that you are going through now, is no less of a storm than anybody else's. It's real. But listen to what it says in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 5. It says this, "Praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." See, right out of the gate, Peter shares some strong and truly godly perspective and encouragement to his readers that are faced with suffering. See, did you catch what God has given us? Did you catch it? As believers, we have a new birth. Now, all of us have been born. We celebrate that every year, but Peter reminds us that as Christians, we are also born spiritually. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, our spirits are reborn because we receive the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. We die to ourselves and our sin, and we are made alive in Christ. Let's stop and talk about our physical birth and how suffering goes hand in hand. Now, any woman that has gone through childbirth knows exactly what I'm talking about, the pain. Now, I personally have not gone through childbirth, but I'm going to tell you that I was in the labor room and the delivery room with my wife, and judging by the name she called me and the language she used, it must hurt. No, I'm kidding. My wife is as sweet a woman as they make. She would never say that. But it's overwhelming for the mom, and it's overwhelming for the baby too. See, the birth of a newborn is a wonderful gift from God, but it comes with difficulty and challenges, and it's the same way as our spiritual birth. It's a wonderful gift from God, but as we go through life, we will inevitably encounter difficulties and challenges. But here's the good news. Suffering does not define you. Your new birth in Jesus Christ does. See, I love that Peter focuses on our identity in Jesus Christ, because I don't know about you, but when I'm suffering, I'm disorientated. And sometimes I'm paralyzed. And in those seasons of suffering and hard times, I don't know which direction to go. And I can't see a path forward. And those seasons of suffering, the pain, makes it so difficult to see the future. And that's what I love about the next phrase. It's so encouraging and it's uplifting. We have a new birth into a living hope. I don't know about you, but when I'm in a season of suffering, I need hope. Back in 2007, Kevin and Becky and myself, we led our first trip to Zambia together. And on that trip, God wrecked my life in the most beautiful ways and changed everything for me. And in that trip, I remember certain things, and the missionary telling me there's many ways to kill people. One of them is to take away their hope. A person without hope will wither away. But you see, our hope is alive and well in the concrete life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can look at who he was, what he said, what he did, and come away from that so hopeful, no matter what life looks like. We have hope. Let's build on our statement. Suffering doesn't define you. New birth into a living hope does. And all of this came through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which requires his death, because you can't have a resurrection without a death. And that reminds us that the gift we have, a new birth into a living hope by the way of suffering, the suffering of our God and Savior himself, came through suffering. What a strange way to get a gift. Remember that strange gift concept? We're getting closer to understanding what it has to do with these verses. So let's go back to our spiritual birth. Depending on our family, our earthly inheritance might vary, right? Our earthly inheritance could be here today, gone tomorrow, with one bad decision, one bad investment, poof, gone. But our eternal inheritance is kept safe in heaven for us. See, it can never perish, it can never spoil, and it can never fade away. And it's not secured by our works and deeds, but by God himself. And I'm so thankful for that, because I'm pretty sure I would mess that up. Our inheritance is kept in heaven for us through placing our faith in Jesus Christ. What incredible words of hope for those that are suffering. We are shielded as believers. And think about this, the ultimate suffering, separation from God, will never touch us of faith. No wonder Peter began our section today with the statement, "Praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ." So let's continue to build on our statement of godly perspective and encouragement. Suffering doesn't define you. New birth into a living hope and a secure inheritance does. See, I hope this is beginning to encourage you. I hope this is beginning to allow you to raise your gaze to heaven and praise the one who has made a way to take away our suffering. See, Peter went on to write these words and encourage those that were suffering. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7 says this, "In all this you rejoice now. For a little while you have had to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ goes back, is revealed. So let's go back to the beginning of the message. Do you remember the strange gift? Peter is suggesting that our temporary suffering is a strange gift. See, because suffering through trials with God makes our faith more genuine. You might even say more sincere. Just as gold is refined when put through extreme temperatures, all the impurities of faith are stripped away. Meaning all the facades that we put up, all the go through the motions aspects of our faith, all the superficial niceness we plaster on top of the gospel is burned away as a result of sincere praise and honor to Jesus, not to ourselves. You see, when we look at suffering as a strange gift, it's a game changer. I know it's a bit to wrap your head around, but let me see if I can help you. Maybe the words of James, the half-brother of Jesus, might help you in this. Now, this is James 1, verses 2 to 4, and this is how it's written in the Message version. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you can become more mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. So even though God does the work, we do have to participate. We can spend our lives resisting his work, and when it gets painful, and it'll stunt our spiritual growth and our maturity. Or we can allow him to shape us, making our faith more sincere and mature and thorough through our difficulties and suffering. I want to say this right now. God does not cause suffering. He doesn't cause death, and he doesn't cause sin. In fact, he has made a way for us to beat this through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But what I am saying, hear me now, God can use anything for his purpose, even the suffering that comes as a result of our sin in this broken world. And believing that God can use our suffering for good, that takes faith. Listen to what Peter writes in the next two verses, 1 Peter 1, 8 through 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are now receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I'd like to invite the worship team to come back up. If you feel comfortable, would you please stand with me? And we're going to read these words together as a declaration of our faith. Though we have not seen him, thank you. You can sit down. I've heard it said that person's true character is revealed when they're alone. What they look at, what they read, what they listen to. And I believe that a person's true faith can be revealed through suffering. My family and I have been in that season of suffering. See, and I know many of you have too, because of I see some of the prayer requests come across our campuses, and I know that so many of the families are suffering. But I want to encourage you that God has shown me some things through the suffering, and I want to share my perspective with you today because it's been helpful for me. God has made me acutely aware that I am not the only one suffering, that many of you are too. And as I go to the gym or as I walk through the grocery store, I realize that some of the people that I'm encountering, just like you encounter in your daily jobs or work or school, people are suffering. They're all over. None of us are immune. So I'm not alone in that. And he caused me to pray for people that I don't even know. So as I'm walking through the gym and I see somebody, God will bring them to mind, and I just pray. Lord, I don't know what they're going through. I don't know if they need healing. I don't know. I'm just lifting them up to you. And the same thing in the grocery store, for the cashiers, for whoever we encounter in the store, we just quietly walk by. See, and God can use our suffering to hone in on other people's suffering. Back around Thanksgiving, my wife and I were in Wegmans, and we were cashing out, and as usual, my wife, as sweet as she is, she's asking people how they are, you know, what's going on, and the lady just started pouring out her suffering. They had just lost somebody very close to the family, and it was devastating. And my first reaction was, well, and just to quietly say, well, we'll pray for you. Not my wife. Right at the cash register, with everybody watching, we stopped, we hugged, we prayed for this lady and her suffering. Many times when I'm alone in my thoughts, I just list prayers of praise for every good gift that God has given me. And sometimes the suffering is so hard that the gift of praise has to be just something more than a cup of coffee or breath in my lungs or the fact that I have shelter. See, I found through the years that prayers of gratitude, it changes my attitude. See, and I found that through my day and through my nights, many sleepless, I worship. When I'm here with you, I love to worship. See, we're not alone in our suffering. There's somebody standing next to us in the fire that understands that suffering. Let's stand and worship the God who has given us a new birth into a living hope and an eternal inheritance in Jesus Christ. Let's worship.